Kilda, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of the Stillness Speak series. Today, I'm going to walk you through, take you through, and share a story on birthing a new me through birth. And that sounds so chirpy because at the time it really wasn't. but the reason why I've decided to call this episode Birthing a New Me Through Birth is I was talking with a friend over the last couple of days through voice memos because that's the way we communicate. It's like a podcast in itself. And we were talking about safe spaces, creating that for ourselves and other people. And I was going to call it birth and breastfeeding, but it's not really about the breastfeeding and it's not really about the birth. It's about creating safety within my own body. So that's just kind of, you know, when you plant a seed and you think it's going to be something and then you have a conversation and then it moves into something else. So I met my partner at the time, my husband now, we've been together for 16 years. We met when I was 18 years old and I just come out of a relationship and we were together for six to eight weeks and then I was hapu, I was pregnant. So if you've listened to previous episodes, you know, a snapshot of what was going on in my life to now I was pregnant. It was an interesting time for me because Gerhard and I had a discussion about having an abortion because I thought, well, I've had one before. I know what it's like. It's not something, you know, is this going to be an option for us? And Gerhard's response was, well, I'm here, you know, you're pregnant and I'm here to help look after you and this baby. And I've shared this in a previous episode. I wanted to run, you know, that sort of became a theme of my life. Is anything that happened in my life that felt uncomfortable or overwhelming, I would run. And this was another instance. I was like, well, I don't need you, you know, Miss Independent. I can do this on my own. I don't need anyone else. I'll just figure this out. And yeah, he's still chasing me after 16 years. that was my running. I could simply say, and then I moved to Australia. But it wasn't that. I packed up really quickly. I didn't say goodbye to a lot of friends. I just got rid of my stuff and said goodbye to the few people that knew and I left. You know, I found that was like a theme of my life. Like, I just won't tell anyone. I'll just kind of disappear. And then they'll turn around and be like, well, where's Vanessa? What's she up to? Like, whatever happened to her? That was like a very common thing for me. Just abandon ship so no one knows what the fuck's going on with my life. And I moved to Australia. I must have been three to four months pregnant. And Gerhard stayed back to mature, you know, to finish up his job and spend time with this family before he came. And I was maybe five to six months pregnant before he then moved to Australia. And being a first time mother, I had no real understanding of birth. I wasn't looking for information. I was just in a state of survival and just getting information from my mum and my sister and, you know, anyone who would talk to me about birth. And I remember going to a midwife appointment because that's what you do. You go to this midwife appointment and they have these stack of questions that they ask you. And I remember being asked, have you experienced sexual trauma? But that's what, yeah, around about that way. Like, have you experienced sexual trauma? And I said, oh, yes. And then they, oh, what age were you? They didn't ask me what happened, just what age were you? And I don't remember being asked, do you need any other support? It was just then on to the next question. Have you experienced domestic violence? Is your husband or your partner supportive? Do you have any support at home? They were just ticking the boxes. And I don't say this in a way as they weren't doing their job. Do you know? They're just doing what they needed to do at the time. So again, it was another opportunity. I was asked the question, have you experienced sexual trauma? Yes. So it opens a door, but then nothing is done with it. So I'm then left with this open door of, okay, well, they've asked me that. Now what do I do with it? And when I birthed my first baby into this world, who's now 15, I was not prepared. And I don't really think anyone can ever be fully prepared for birthing a baby into this world. Yes, we can read all the books and we can have the conversation and we can do the courses and we can do the breathing, but nothing quite prepares you for birthing a baby into this world. And what I wasn't prepared for was the vulnerability, opening myself up, surrendering, sharing emotion, having to ask for help. I felt vulnerable because I felt weak, as in I was in a really vulnerable state, so anyone could do anything to me, you know, constantly still carrying the mask of I need to protect myself. I need to hold this really close to me. I can't let anyone in. But I needed help. You know, I needed water. I needed some food. My poor husband asked him for some food and then he didn't hold the fruit salad bowl fast enough, so I chucked it. But all good. And it wasn't till, no, actually, and also experiencing internal checks. So they can check how far dilated you are. So they ask you to lay on your back, you open your legs, they insert their fingers, you know, breathe in and then breathe out and then up it goes. And then they tell you this number, whether it's 2 centimeters or 8 centimeters. And then they give you a time frame to say how far off you are or what you need to do. And again, it's not anyone's fault. It's just something that I experienced. But the aftermath of that was, it felt quite violating for me. I've spoken about this previously. There were layers of like, okay, I've opened a part of myself, but I'm holding some secrets and I'm going to talk about this, but no one knows that I'm experiencing this. Also, I had no idea that our body holds trauma. So anytime my baby's head was coming down through the canal, I had to surrender and I had to open. And while I'm opening, while I'm trying to birth this beautiful human into this world, it's also like poking and opening and softening and prodding and triggering these parts of me that I hadn't dealt with. And so after I birthed my beautiful baby into this world, I was then moved into a ward. And then my family left. As in my mum and my husband, they had left to go home. And it was just a strange fucking feeling to birth, to have this like profound experience, birth my baby into this world and also a part of myself into this world, and then gone. You know, left to your own devices in this room with two other women who had crying babies, and all of a sudden I had to breastfeed, like put this baby on my tit to feed it. Like, what the fuck? And I remember coming home and having my son on my breast, and there's a hormone that is released when we breastfeed, oxytocin. It's like that good, feel good hormone. You know, when you have an orgasm or you eat a piece of chocolate and you're like, ah, that hormone is released when our breast milk comes down. And this is where the confusion started to set in for me. Because I understand that I'm feeding a baby. I understand that I have food that is nourishing. But I'm also getting this feeling of pleasure. Pleasure as an oxytocin is starting to surge through my body. And the confusion for me was I'm not supposed to feel this feeling of pleasure or feel good while there's a baby sucking on my tit. Fuck, there must be something wrong with me. Like something doesn't feel right here. And obviously at the time I didn't have the language or the understanding of what was going on. Something inside me was like, I'm doing something wrong. Like this doesn't feel right. Like I'm doing something to my baby. And it's not something I spoke about or seeked help about, but I did go deep dive into depression or postnatal depression, whatever you want to call it. I just isolated myself. It was hard for me to leave the house, which I think is not normal, but is very common within mamas, you know. And because I was a young mum, and the looks that I got, like I looked like a fucking 12-year-old carrying around this baby through a shopping mall. I had like massive anxiety, separation, didn't want to leave my baby, but also didn't really want to be around him at the same time. And my husband, Gerhard, he was a massive support for me because he did all the nighttime feeds. He was the one holding baby, going up and down the hallway, getting into sleep, putting him in the car while still working full time, while also taking care of me. I've spoken about this, that I was surrounded by love and support my whole life, and Gerhard was a massive anchor for me while I was becoming a mama and trying to find my feet. And it was the birth of my second son. So first one was hospital and my second birth was a home birth. And I started researching home birth before I was even pregnant with my second son. And it was on a beautiful place called the Huggies Forum. Fuck, that place was toxic, but it was also fun. Yeah, that was my introduction into like hard out, not social media, but mums would come on and what nappies are you using? Is anyone not getting any sleep? And my husband's not supportive. It was just a place for unseen mums to come and shit their whole asshole out. And there's a little section, a really tiny section in the forum, home birth. And maybe me, I was like, home birth. Like, this shit's interesting. And there weren't many women in there sharing their birth stories. I would say there was a maximum 15 over however many years that forum had been open. But just reading their stories sparked curiosity for me that there was another way to birth a baby into this world. And what I connected to was their own experience of what they felt in their body and what the space had offered them and how calm they had felt and how seen they had felt. The connection that they were able to create, their breastfeeding journey was an easier journey for them. And I'm not saying that home birth is better than a hospital birth. I'm not saying that you will have a better experience breastfeeding if you home birth. That's not my fucking jam. However you birth your baby into this world, kapai, go hard, you know, that's your journey. But for me, I was like, oh, okay, there's another way. And what's this about? What's this home birth midwife business about? What's this doula business about? And I remember going to my grandmother, Nana, I'm having a home birth, as if I'm like figuring out something that's really new. She's like, oh yeah. Like, bitch, and babies, women have been birthing their babies at home for fucking thousands of years, you know. You're amazing, but it's not that amazing. And I see home birth as an investment into myself. And that might sound really selfish. That might really sound like, well, shouldn't this be for your baby or your family? No. The home birth for me was an investment into myself because I wanted another experience and I wanted to be able to create a safe space in order for my body to soften and relax and birth this baby into this world. That's not how I would describe it at the time. I think it was an, you could call it wairua, you could call it unconscious, but for some reason I followed the breadcrumbs and it took me to home birth. And our beautiful midwife, Sonia, she was maybe 25 minutes down the road. She was a hearty woman. You know, they say to interview a couple of midwives and, you know, see how you feel and how you connect. And Sonia was like the hearty auntie who was quite softened but a little bit rough around the edges as well, you know. I was like, I like you. You kind of remind me of my family. I feel safe with you. And I liked the idea that I was paying this woman to be at my birth and all of my visits would be at home. It also meant my husband could be there, my mum could be there, my older son could be there. And when we talked about sexual trauma, because this is a question that she asked, she then supported me and helped me to explore that. And that's something that I didn't understand before, and that's something that Sonia had shared with me, is that during the process of birth or your pregnancy, you may get some triggers. Because you're opening your whole body, you're surrendering your body to this process in order for you to birth. Here are some tools. These are the ways we can support you. This is a conversation that I will continue to bring up over time to see where you're at. And that was really fucking helpful to know, just to know that this might come up. Rather than, okay, you've experienced that, now on to the next question. But to know that this may come up over time was a little golden nugget for me, that it was actually normal. It is normal for this type of thing to come up if you've experienced that. When we start to go down little rabbit holes of whatever that thing might be, for me it was home birth, it also opens up other little doors. You know, where I had come across people called doulas, and then I'd come across people who were into spirituality. I came across something called hypnobirthing. I came across something called breath work. I came across a lotus birth. I came across just all this kind of information that I never knew about. As I'm talking, the word natural keeps coming to mind. And I think the rabbit hole had sent me back to myself. And what is intuition, and what does trusting yourself mean, and what is building a relationship with your body? What the fuck does all of that mean? And because I'm a curious person, I started not researching, but exploring this for myself. And yeah, the biggest one was my connection to my body through touch. What does that mean? Exploring my body, placing my hands on my body. And so what I experienced with my second birth, being at home, was surrender. It was trust. It was intuition. It was listening to my body. It was rest. It was asking for help. It was knowing how to slow down. And in the same breath, I was not coping with two children at home. Not coping at all. My eldest son was next to me. My second son was in his cot, in his room. I had closed the door. Because he was crying and I just could not bring myself to pick him up. I just couldn't do it, and I didn't know how to ask for help. And to be honest, I was probably just tired and overwhelmed. But because I couldn't communicate that, or I didn't know what was going on inside, a story started to build in my head. I'm going to harm my child. Like, I feel like I'm going to hurt him. So I actually can't walk into that room and pick him up. And my husband was at work, Gerhard was at work, and I called him. I said, like, I need help. You need to come home. I need some help. I'll get his experience and his version of the story at a later time, because, yeah, I think it adds value to this conversation of what it means to constantly have to be an anchor, a pillar, a support person for someone while also trying to go through your own shit and also keep a roof over your head. And so he came home and I was referred to Carry Care. I think that's what they call. They're an organization in Sydney where they just support postpartum mamas, and they also have like a, not a sleep school, but if your kid isn't sleeping and you're not coping, you just go in and stay there for a week and they help you, not help put your baby to sleep, but just support you in that time. And here I was talking about overwhelm and I'm tired and I don't know how to look after two kids. Everything always went back to sexual trauma, but I couldn't understand why. But every conversation, every meeting we would have, it would always go back down to sexual trauma. And I remember there was an older lady, an older wahine, who'd taken us for a meditation. Excuse me. And we laid down and... yeah, she put on this like CD tape thing, and it played some meditation music. And I just felt really calm in her presence. She kind of had queer vibes, you know, old lady vibes. She'd been around the block a few times and she's just here to help out. And there was something calm about her nature and the music. And because I was the only one in the room, I also remember a door being open. I had fallen asleep. Like, I felt safe enough to be in this space and fall asleep. And she woke me up, not by touch, just, and, you know, when you're ready and just come back into the space. I'd asked her what that was, and she said it's a meditation. And I was like, okay, so how do you learn about this meditation? Like, what is meditation? And then she spoke about yoga. And that's when I went down the rabbit hole of meditation and yoga. I just Googled the most local studio that I could find and just started going to these classes. Also, because I'm competitive and there was some fucking fit-ass woman in there. I was like, I can do a handstand. I can do an arm balance. Fuck you. I'm strong. You know, trying to heal myself, but also competitive at the same time. But I'll talk about yoga at another point. So after I'd birthed my second son, I found something called Instagram, the social media app. And on this app, I had come across a Instagram page called Sex Positive Families. I'll put that in the show notes somewhere. I don't follow them anymore, but at the time, it was so fucking helpful because they gave me a different perspective and a language to deal with what I was dealing with at the time. And what I had found is when my two kids had gotten to an age where I started experiencing sexual trauma, that triggered a lot for me, because questions started to come through, like, how could they? Like, how could this person do something to a child that is so innocent? Like, who would do that? So this rage and this anger and trying to, you know, when you have so many like puzzle pieces in your head about an experience that you've had, and then over time you start to learn information, and then another puzzle piece starts to appear and you're trying to piece it all together. That's what it felt like for me, where so many doors had been opened, and what started to come through was anger. Like, that was a big thing that started to come through. And also wanting to keep my babies even closer to me. And by going through the sex positive families, they just talk about like how to talk about sex with your kids, or not masturbation, but like normalizing kids exploring their bodies. Now, however you choose to parent your kids, fuck, none of my business. But this was really helpful for me, because it wasn't about me parenting my kids. It wasn't about me teaching my kids what is normal and what's not normal. It was about me reparenting myself and asking myself, oh, like, what have I been taught about sex? What have I been taught about my own body? What have I been taught about what is good and what is wrong, or what is bad and what is right? And I need to actually reparent myself. I need to, yeah, how can I parent or pass on wisdom and information to my children if it's something that I don't understand for myself? So even though the intention of going on the Sex Positive Families Instagram page was to teach my kids, I ended up teaching myself. And that's where I started to explore safety. That's where I started to explore language. That's where I started to explore not taboo, but I wanted to be able to bring this conversation into my family, but making sure that I wasn't crossing boundaries, you know, like giving over too much information, because I believe we can be honest with our kids, but it's important how we word things. You know, you can't be 5 and be like, nah, bro, all good. You can fucking take a joint to 18 sweeties. You know, like, there's a time and place for conversation, and there's a way that we word things. And that was, yeah, that was, I guess, the first time that I had understood what it meant to like reparent myself, or like talking about that inner child. And so I had to keep revisiting this 5-year-old self and this 6-year-old self and the 7-year-old self, not with a counselor, but just through this Instagram page. And even though I didn't speak directly to Gerhard at the time around like healing my inner child, but by having the conversation around safety and the information that we would like to pass on to our children, and what was normal for him, or what was he educated about, and, you know, like understanding each other's perspective based on the past, but also what we would like to pass on, opened a massive line of communication between us two. Everything that I've shared today goes on to yoga, which I'll leave for another episode. I think that'll be the next episode, because that was my real understanding of breath, sound, movement, and getting to know what the fuck was happening inside of my head, and also physically what was happening in my body and where I was storing trauma. And everything that I experienced over those two births was then channeled through yoga. That was a way for me to express and to use my body intentionally to heal my relationship with my sexual trauma. Before I wrap up, I just wanted to touch on safe spaces. It sounds so fucking cliche and something that gets thrown around all the time, and safe space, it's gonna be a safe space for everyone. But it's true, like, it really is true. How can we create a safe space for ourselves in order for us to express whatever it is that needs to be expressed, whether that's on our own or with someone else? And it's not about me telling you this is safe, like, you need to go and explore these things so that you know what safety is. But I feel like just asking ourselves the question, what is safe? Like, what feels safe for us? And others might not be able to provide that for us. We might need to create that for ourselves and explore that for ourselves, because how can we communicate to other people what is safe for us if we don't understand that for ourselves? And that journey alone can be fucking hard work. I'm not going to lie. It's not something that you just pick up tomorrow and you're like, oh my God, I just feel safe. Like, I've just created it overnight. No, it takes fucking time. And it takes energy and intention and something we have to constantly work at, which can feel like hard work, and then we want to abandon ourselves. Like, that's something that I understand and something that I embodied. But on the other side of that is where you learn to back yourself and to trust yourself. I remember getting counseling from she was specialized in sexual trauma, and I got counseling with her one day a week for a whole year. And I was a youth worker at the time, and a fight had broken out while we were at outreach, and there was a whole group of kids, and it was a massive brawl, and me and another youth worker, mate of mine, we were in between them, and we had to do a police statement, all that sort of thing. And for some reason I had brought up that story, you know, how was work and how's your week been and what's come up for you? And I shared the story in a way where it felt really lighthearted. Like, I thought it was funny because my normal state, not normal state, but I like that excitement. I love watching fights. If I see a fight on the road, I would stop and watch. I wouldn't mind sort of not being in it, in between it, but I didn't mind being around it. It gave my, you know, it made my heart like skip a beat, and I felt alive, and life just felt a bit more exciting. And she questioned that. She's like, do you think that's safe? I thought, yeah, like, I'm all good. You know, I can protect myself. And then she started to question it again. Like, maybe that is your, like, that's something that you need to look at, is what you think is safe might actually not be safe for you, because you, at the end of the day, you don't know how that fight was going to go down. I didn't know if these kids had knives or guns, or if they were going to call like other people to come. But because I was in such a heightened state of emotion and it felt exciting for me, that felt safe to me. And so I then had to reassess, fuck, what is safety? And I remember having that discussion with my husband, because there were some fellas outside our house. And I was one of those people who would walk outside the house and say, fuck off, get off our thing. Like, who the fuck do you think you are? You're noisy around here. Like, mouthy. Oh my Lord, mouthy. But could I back myself? No, bitch, I can't fight. I cannot fight. If I had to protect myself, like, obviously I'll protect myself. But I could not protect myself with five men inside a car. I had no idea what was going on inside, and it was Gerhard that pulled me out. That had said, if something happens, I have to come and protect you. And that sounds like knight in shining armor, but it's not. I'm then putting someone else in a state of danger in order to protect me, because I just wanted to be a mouthy bitch. But all good, you know, forgive myself for that. So yeah, maybe your idea or your belief or what you feel is safe, it's okay to question that. It's okay to be curious and to look at it and ask yourself, is there another way to create safety for me? Is it something that I can do on my own? Is it something that I can start at home, in the privacy of my own home, in the quiet, and explore? Are there particular sounds that support me in my body, relaxing and softening and feeling that sense of safety? Is it a conversation with a particular person? Is it where I place my hands on my body? Is it a particular room? And being okay that if you're at that stage, explore that. We don't have to be fucking heroes and be the best, absolute perfect version of ourselves tomorrow. It's tiny baby steps, and it's through that exploring that we learn about ourselves in what works. And then once we integrate that, then we can take the next step, and then we learn, and then we explore, and then we fuck up, and then we cross the boundaries, and then we come back, and then we take the next step, and then we take the next step. Like, it's slow. And giving yourself the permission to be slow and to move with intention and to take breaks when you need to, knowing that that little doorway, that little basket, that little suitcase, whatever you choose to call it, that experience that you have will exist, and it's a part of you, but it's not you, and you're not it. It's just something that I believe we have to build a relationship with to get to know its little intricacies, to see how it's moving through our lives, to see how it's affecting the way that we behave or the way that we communicate or the way that we experience pleasure or joy through that comes empowerment. As always, checking in with yourself, checking in with your body, checking in with your breath, coming back to what's present for you, looking at your surroundings. I can see a box of full cream long life milk because that shit's expensive at the moment, so we're on the box. An empty bottle of Shiva's Regal, a head massager, a bottle of vitamin C, a pepper shaker, a toaster, headphones, a speaker, a mixer, a bottle of water, some artwork. Like, look around, see where you are, check in with yourself, and express, like, whatever residue or anything that feels like it's left over. Maybe it's a conversation with someone. Maybe it's spending time on your own. Maybe it's going for a walk. Maybe it's using your voice and expressing through video. That sounds really strange, but that was really helpful for me, is I would just record myself talking just to myself because I wanted to see myself and how I would interact with myself and my expression. But that just worked for me. It might be through a mirror. You might color in. You might go for a run. You might chuck a song on and shake your whole body. You might lay down on your bed and take some deep breaths. Whatever that is for you to then find safety and know that you're safe in this moment. Alrighty, wahine ma. Look after yourselves. If you have anything you'd like to share, best place is to email me or just send me a message on Instagram. Look after yourself and we'll see you on the next episode.